Did you all go on Facebook this morning? Did anybody look at Facebook this morning? Twitter, Yahoo News, or anything like that? No? Well, it's interesting that sometimes we do. I mean, I don't know why you look at Facebook. I know why I do. But sometimes we do go there not knowing what we're really looking at. Are you searching Yahoo News or AOL or Twitter or whatever it is, or whatever social media is out there, to find information that's helpful? Or are you just out there looking for the latest juicy gossip that's out there? Who got divorced? Who got remarried? Who's in a rehab? Who did what? Our text this morning speaks to something similar to that. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 to 22. And I'll ask if you're able, please stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word. Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. A quarrelsome person starts fights as easily as hot embers light charcoal, or fire lights wood. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. The word of the Lord this morning, may it encourage us and build our lives. You may be seated. Now, most of you have heard my story about growing up in the village, shepherding my father's cows and goats, and how much I hated that job, chasing after those goats that never listened to anybody. But my life in the village was not always so terrible. You know, there were some things that I really enjoyed to do. And one of those things that I really loved to do was when my father would ask me to get up early in the morning and join him, because on that particular day, we would be expanding our farm. Now, our farms were always located somewhere in the middle of nowhere, right in the heart of woods. You know, this is tropical forest in sub-Saharan Africa. And so every time we needed to expand our farm to do crop rotation or just, you know, grow more crop, we needed to clear the land so that we would prepare for the new crops that we're just about to plant. And the way we did it was by, you know, and this is why I loved it so much, was because I had the opportunity to play with machetes and axes. You know, my father would tell me, now today you're going to get to play with the machetes, because we're going out to the farm and we're going to cut down big trees, bring them all down, put them into one huge pile. And then what you do is that you burn it all up, because we did not have trucks that would be coming to take all the shrubbery and all the trees and all of that. So you just pile it up, burn it up. That's how you clear your farm. Now, the interesting thing is, this is fire. You're playing with fire. So you would imagine that we would have some sort of, you know, fire station where if things got out of control, then you're able to put out the fire. No, this is the village. We were the firefighters. We did not have any firefighters out there. And so my father taught me that the best way to stop the fires from spreading was every time you'd put the pile of trees and all the shrubbery together, you would go around. It doesn't matter how long it was, and this part was not my favorite because he had to do all the work. But you would go around and clear all the shrubbery around it, make sure that there was no wood around that big pile, and then dig a trench around it, not too deep, just a little bit. Now, you know what that means, because when the fire starts to burn, if it's ever going to get out of control, when it gets to that spot where there's no wood, there's no shrubbery, there's nothing to burn, what happens? It dies out. The fire goes out. Interesting, our text is talking about similar things this morning. It's giving us an analogy of wood and fire and all these things. And I think gossip is the same way. Gossip can easily spread like a wildfire. Just like I saw it happen when people were not careful to put, you know, to dig trenches around the fire, it would get out of control. And you can imagine what would have happened. If the whole forest caught on fire, we would literally burn down our whole village. Our text begins by telling us this morning that this fire or gossip starts somewhere. It took my father and I just one little matchstick to light that pile and set it on fire. It takes just one little spark, just one little word, one little conversation to be a fire starter or to be a gossip. And that's where we start this morning, by looking at this man, by looking at this person. Could be you, could be me, who seems to cause trouble by being a fire starter. What does he do? How does he do this? How does he start that spark? We read in verses 20 and 21, it says that fire goes out without wood and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. A quarrelsome person starts fights as easily as hot embers light, as hot embers light charcoal or fire lights wood. He's described as a quarrelsome person. He's someone who starts fights easily. His intentions are to cause trouble. In other words, he's a contentious man. He's one who provokes the status quo, if you will. He's not pleased at all. And his words are like wounds. They're meant to cause harm. I don't think it's describing a chatterbox. I don't think this passage is describing someone who just talks a lot. This person seems to have clear intentions. He seems to have a clear intention of spreading gossip. Now, it could be just a rumor. It might not be true. It could be just innuendo. It still doesn't matter. This person's intentions are to cause trouble. It's just like I said, just like someone with matches, just one match that has the power to start a wildfire. This man, this woman, this person has power. And he holds that power in his hands. He holds that power in his mouth. Because the information that he has gives him power. And this is what I mean. This person knows a secret, or someone has shared an important secret with him. And he knows it. But he also knows that other people want to know. You know, when someone has shared something in confidence with you, no one else knows. It's just you. You're the person who knows. And because of that, you know that other people's ears are itching to know that particular information. But that information is also enjoyable. You know, we're told here that, you know, the rumors are like dainty morsels. They're enjoyable things that people want to hear. That's why we run to Facebook. That's why we run to Twitter. That's why we look at what's trending in the market, isn't it? Because it's enjoyable. We want to hear it. But that also makes him feel like he's an important person because he holds that information with him. Makes him feel like he's in control. I'm the key. I'm the person who knows this information that nobody else knows. But why? Why does he want to gossip? Why does he want to have an intention of causing trouble? I think it's because he really wants to paint a bad picture of what other people are. He really wants to elevate himself in a place of, I'm better. I'm better than you. Because why else would he be spreading news and stories about other people? If I gave you information in secret, if I wanted all of you to know, I would just go ahead and tell you, right? I don't need you to spread or to give my story. But I think there's something more to that as well. And maybe something very subtle that we don't think and related to the power that this contentious man has. I think we gossip because we want to hide our own shortcomings. I think we gossip because we want to cover up our own sins. And this is what I mean. When you're making other people look bad, when you're elevating yourself higher than other people, you're lifting yourself in a higher moral ground, and you cover up your sin by using these words. Listen to some of the words that someone who is gossiping will use. Can you believe she did that? I wonder what kind of a father or a mother he is to his children. Who on earth does acts like that? Do you see? You're putting someone else to look like, I am better than that. I am better than someone who, can you believe they do that? But be warned. The wise king tells us, this contentious person comes in very subtle ways. He disguises himself. He dresses up the gossip in ways that would not look like it's such a big deal. It's not a wildfire. It's just a little spark of fire. Listen to the words that people use. We all know them, right? We've used them. You might hear someone say something like this. This is just between me and you. Or, I'm only telling you this so that you can pray, or so that you may know how to pray for them. Or something like this. I just thought that you should know this. We dress up gossip in statements like that just so that people not feel like it's really a gossip. So that we make it look like it's just a small thing. It's no big deal. It's just a little spark. But that spark has the capability of causing a wildfire that you probably might not be able to control. Which is the second thing we see here. The effects of this wildfire. What does it do? What does it do when you let yourself get into that place and share information that you're not supposed to be sharing? But even before we talk about it, I think I've mentioned gossip, I've mentioned rumors, I've mentioned all those things. But you may be asking, what is it or what qualifies as gossip? Is just any information that we share or talk about, is it gossip? And I say no. Here's a good definition that I found, and I think you might agree with me, and I think it's very helpful to think. And the word that's in the Old Testament that's translated gossip means a gossip is one who reveals secrets, one who goes about as a talebearer or a scandal monger. A gossiper is a person who has privileged information about people and proceeds to reveal that information to those who have no business knowing it. It's distinguished from sharing simple information with two things. One, the person has to have intent. Isn't that what we just talked about? The firefighter has intentions. And what are his intentions? His intentions are to build himself up by making others look bad and exalting himself as some kind of repository of knowledge. What's the second thing? Is information. So there's intent in gossip. But the type of information that he shares, you know, gossipers speak of faults and failings of others. They reveal potentially embarrassing or shameful details regarding the lives of others without knowledge or without their approval. Even if they mean no harm, regardless of whether the information is true or not, it doesn't matter. It's still gossip. We could say, in simple terms, that gossip is speaking in public what should be kept private, isn't it? It's breaking confidence. We can say it's confessing someone's private sin in public, someone once said. A friend of mine, and she's sitting here with us today, sent me last week on Sunday, she sent me a cutting of a clip advertising Netflix. We all know what Netflix is, right? And you might have seen it, but it was really funny just to read it. The caption read, "It's not gossip if it's true. It's not gossip if it's true." Now, you see the lie in that phrase right there. It doesn't matter. It, in fact, is going to affect someone more if it's actually true. If they share that information, it does not matter whether it's true or false. It still qualifies as gossip. Do not be washing someone else's dirty linen in public. So the wise king tells us that gossip, this gossip as it's being described here in verse 22, that it is enjoyable. It's like choice meat, choice meals, choice dessert, like really good, enjoyable dessert. It's sweet. It tingles our ears. We really want to hear it. It's desirable. And it's because of that desirability of gossip that really sells. That's what makes gossip sell, because of its enjoyability. We all like to know. We all like to know stuff. That's why we read the news. And so the gossip is being described as a sweet aroma of a good meal that whets our appetite. And you will know these words. You've heard them. You've heard people say these words to you. And you know how that makes you feel, because you want to hear more. Someone might say, "Did you know that? Or have you heard that?" Just words that catch your attention. They make you feel like, I really want to know. What is he going to say next? What are they going to say next? But the warning here from the wise king is that just like an uncontrollable wildfire, gossip is harmful. It's destructive. It fuels and kindles disunity. It spirals out of control. And when that happens, you cannot control it. I really love the analogy that the wise king is using here, the analogy of choice morsels, or rather, if you like, tasty desserts, or whatever the case may be. But he says, it's choice morsels that go deeper into one's belly. I mean, that's the process of digestion. Meaning that when we hear information, when we hear words, when we are told things, we digest that information. And I think it's that particular analogy, it's that particular side of gossip, the digesting of information, that makes it particularly dangerous. Once you hear words spoken, once you let words come out of your mouth, you can never take them back. Once you hear something, you cannot unhear it. When you speak something, you cannot unspeak it. When we digest information that we hear about someone, it affects and shapes the way we treat them. It affects and shapes the way we respect them. We really have, our perception of others is informed by the information that we get, the information that we hear from people. And you can imagine how damaging that is when you spread gossip, regardless whether it's true or not, about someone, and it's just one piece of information, and how damaging that information can be. And I think when someone has been labeled a gossip, that's about it. That ruins your relationships. If someone has described you as a gossip and people get to know that you are a gossip, it really does stain who you are. It stains your reputation. It messes you up. You're not going to be able to have better relationships with other people because people know you have been labeled one who gossips. You've heard it. We've heard of social media and how on Facebook, children in schools are being bullied. One kid just starts one story about the other, spreads a gossip that this boy is like this or this girl is like this. And we've heard the sad stories of children committing suicide because they couldn't take it, because they couldn't take the bullying that was going on, the gossip that was being spread about them. The stigma and the embarrassment is just too much to handle. I think this happens to us as well. It doesn't just happen to those young minds in our schools. It happens to us. When someone spreads information about you, rumors about you, regardless of whether they're true or not, it really does affect you in a very damning manner. But I do think that it's also something for us to consider, that when you hear information about someone and you're making judgment about that person because of that one particular information that you're given, you're really making a huge mistake because you're losing the opportunity to get to know who these people are. You cannot judge me because you heard Josiah likes to watch soccer. I mean, that's not a gossip per se, but I'm just using that as an analogy for, I am not who I am because of one thing about me. You are not who you are because of just one information about you. So gossip denies us an opportunity to know others, to develop a relationship with others. It instead separates us. It causes disunity and strife. It builds walls. It's preventing us from having those genuine relationship and fellowship that we ought to be having with our brothers and sisters. It causes fear and distrust. Just like an uncontrolled wildfire, gossip is destructive. It's divisive. It's malicious. So how do we stop it? How do we stop this wildfire from spreading here in our church, in our workplaces, and in our neighborhoods? How do we stop it? Listen to what he says in verse 20. Going back to verse 20, he says, fire goes out without wood and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. The wise king is telling us that if you take out the wood, the fire goes out. If you want to stop strife, disunity, and conflict, then stop the buzz. Stop the rumors. Stop the gossip. Do away with it. Remove the fuel and the fire goes out. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Just an easy thing. Just take out the wood and we're done. Behold, we have unity and friendship and fellowship. I don't think it's so easy. I think there's some practical things that we can look into. There are things that we can think about ourselves and would do well to do so. And I think they would help us in this endeavor. Obviously, the first thing is really admitting our own faults. James tells us that if we think that we have no sin, we're lying to ourselves and we're making God to look like a liar. So the first thing we ought to do is really come before the Lord in repentance, isn't it? And recognize where we've spoken when we shouldn't, when we had no business talking, where we've shared information when we had no business sharing that information, and coming before the Lord in repentance. But I think we also ought to remember what Scripture tells us about encouraging one another, especially when you're having conversations with other people and you feel like this conversation is not really leading in a very good place. So here's something you might want to do. How about asking someone, do you really need to tell me that? Excuse me. Do you really need to tell me that? Ought I to know that particular information? Should you be telling me that? Ask those questions. They are good because they will make you and they will help you protect yourself from getting into conversations that might spiral out of proportion. But I also think that the other aspect of encouraging one another in Christ means understanding that we're called to bless each other and not to curse one another. Actually, Paul in Philippians 2:3 asks you and I to think of ourselves or to think of others in humility higher than we think ourselves. Consider other people more significant than you are. So when you catch yourself saying something that you feel belittles or is shameful or you shouldn't be saying, then remember that. Remember that you're called to consider others more significant than yourself. Scripture reminds us that if you need wisdom, if you lack in wisdom, ask the Lord because he gives wisdom. Why do we need wisdom? We need wisdom for discernment. Discernment to know when to be silent, something that's very difficult for all of us. James tells us it's almost impossible to tame the tongue. Only God can do it. But if you seek God's wisdom, ask him to help you to be discerning, to know when is it time for me to be quiet and not to say things that I'm not supposed to be saying. But we also need to learn how to choose our words carefully. We just talked about how we digest information. So once you speak it, that's it. It's gone. Someone else is going to digest that information, and you have no control whatsoever. The text that I like, 1 Timothy chapter 5, I know Paul is talking about women here, and we like to use that passage because we can only pick on the ladies as they go about their business talking. But I think it's applicable to all of us. It's for every one of us. Paul is telling them, and you and me, men, listen, do not be idle talkers. Do not be busybodies, because lazy talk is dangerous. Stay away from it. Instead of filling your mind and all of that with things that do not matter, with things that are not important, why don't you fill your mind with God's word, with thoughts that are good, thoughts that bless other people? Why don't you seek to glorify God and not idle and malicious talk that so easily destroys? Can we ever know, can we ever learn how to resist and walk away from fights that we shouldn't be picking in the first place? See, dessert is good. It tastes good, doesn't it? We all love it. I had some last night. It was really good. But there are times when even good food is not good for your health, right? There are times when you need to control how much you eat or what you eat because it's not good for your health. There are times when you need to learn to walk away from fights, from arguments, from conversations for the sake of the health of your relationship with your brother and sister and your church. So walk away from it. Learn when to walk away. Learn how to resist Listen to Paul's encouragement in 2 Timothy 2:23. He says, "Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know," and that's our passage for the day, isn't it? Our memory verse of the day. "You know that they breed quarrels." And just in case you need reminding, I know I need reminding every day, gossip is sin. Romans chapter 1, Paul gives us a list of things that God has given to those who have opposed him, to those who want nothing to do with him. And there's a list of all these sinful things that he gives us. And guess what? Gossip is on that list as well. And God hates it. I like the warning that Matthew gives us in chapter 12 of his gospel in verses 36. Listen to this stern warning about those who gossip. "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." That's a stern warning. I really cannot think of any motivation for us to think about how gossip affects our lives and brings disaster in our own lives. I cannot think of any motivation other than the very gospel of Jesus Christ, other than what Christ has done in our lives. And this morning I'm reminded of James chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading from verses 5b. Listen to this. Listen to what James says. He says, "But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all these parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from salty spring. You have been saved by grace. You have been saved that you may live in a manner that's acceptable to God, including how you use your tongue to bless and not to curse others. And I think the gospel really does demonstrate for us what our identity is in Christ, doesn't it? That you are a child of God. That you are not a quarrelsome person. You're not a gossip. You're not a firefighter. You are a child of God. And that is how you ought to live. Listen, it's the same way you ought to treat others in Christ as God's children. And if you're able to do that, then you're able to treat them in humility so that you don't spread rumors and gossip about them because they are just like you, saved by God's grace, saved sinners. A cripple never laughs at a lame man. And so when I see you, I see a brother and a sister. How am I supposed to treat you? Let the gospel of Jesus Christ, let his word therefore free us to love one another, to show it even with our words, to show it with words that bless other people, words that build, words that encourage each other, and keep us away from the wildfires that threaten genuine relationship, loving fellowship that we should be enjoying in Christ Jesus. Will you do that today? The word of the Lord this morning, may you be blessed.